We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you are buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
Good morning. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. It is the, I think, first time I've ever done a husband-wife combo on the podcast in back-to-back weeks as separate interviews. So Holly Rund of Kittleberger, of course, on today's podcast. It's so cool because Kittleberger is just this iconic Rochester brand, right? Like, she's fourth generation at this just juggernaut of a brand in Rochester. Just the what, you know, it's... You've done it. You know, you have done it. When somebody says hot dog and you say Zweigels, you won. You say flowers, people say Kittleberger. They won. They won the race. Now, she's going to talk about, we're going to talk, of course, in this podcast, we're going to talk about the fact that Kittleberger is much more than just flowers. But nonetheless, you say flowers, people say Kittleberger. That's it. Game over. Speaking of games, a couple complaints. I haven't been talking about the Bills. We're going to address this very briefly. This podcast is not recorded in real time. I don't talk about the Bills on purpose. I avoid it because whatever I would say right now would make absolutely zero sense by the time this podcast actually comes out. So that's why I'm not really talking about the Bills. But in general, going into the postseason, I became a very big temporary Bills fan. However, as much as I pull for the Bills, should the Bills win a Super Bowl one day, I will not celebrate it as my own because I don't deserve it. I am a punished Browns fan. The only Super Bowl I ever get to celebrate is a Browns Super Bowl. I will root for the Bills. I will be happy for the Bills. I want them to win. They are my second favorite team by a mile, but I don't deserve the celebration should they win at all. That's all. That's what I'm saying. Anyhow, welcome. One quick story before we hear from Holly here is that I am having so much fun playing Nintendo Switch. We got my son Leo. He's 7. We got him a Switch 2 for Christmas. And this has been amazing. This has been so much fun. My wife kind of didn't love it at first. Like, we were going to limit video game time. But now that she sees how much we're kind of bonding over the video games, she sees it as like valuable father-son time. So we've totally even got her fooled. You know what I mean? It's like the best. But so she recently went out of town for a night. It was her mother's birthday. By the way, shout out Debbie Bouchard, owner of Redbird Market, by the way. And it was her mother's birthday. So her and her sister, brother, her siblings, everyone got together. They went out of town for a night. I stayed home with the boys. And I told Leo we would do an old school video game night. That's what I called it. And he says, "What's that, Daddy?" I said, "That's when we stay up really, really late playing video games." He's like, "Yes, I want to do that." I'm like, "Great." So mommy leaves town, right? Ryan goes, she leaves like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I look at him, I go, "First things first. Old school video game night starts with a trip to Wegmans." He says, "Okay, what are we going to do, Daddy?" I said, "We're going to get snacks." So we pile into the car. Me, Leo, the baby, Georgie. We all get in the car. We get to Wegmans. He says, "What do I get to pick, Daddy?" I said, "Here's how we're going to do this." I go, "We both get to pick one sweet thing and one savory thing. We get one sweet thing, one salty thing, one savory thing." My wife had already picked out some chips for us. She went and got like healthy chips because she was worried what I might allow. And she was right to be worried. I'll tell you what I ended up allowing, but she was right to be worried. But so she went and got like healthy potato chips and she was like, "I got your snacks for you guys." And we were like, "Thanks." And then we looked at each other like, we need Oreos. So we went to Wegmans, we got Oreos. Then we went to the frozen pizza section. We both picked out a frozen pizza. We go home, we start playing. It's early. It's like 4 p.m., right? We start playing video games. By the way, Georgie loves watching the video games too. We put him in his bouncer. We've got nice baby gates. He literally sits there, watches us play. It's like, it's the greatest. It's time to make the pizzas. I make the pizzas. Leo's ready to head into the dining room for dinner. I tell him, hey, bro. I called him bro all night. I go, hey, bro. I go, this is old school video game night. We're not going to the dining room for dinner. He says, where are we going to eat, daddy? I said, look at the couch. I'm sitting on one cushion. You're sitting on another cushion. And there's an empty cushion between us. That's where the pizza goes, bro. He's excited. He's like, oh, my God. Really? We get to eat pizza in the living room while we play video games? I'm like, as long as you don't tell your mommy. So we did it. His mind is blown. He can't believe it. Next up, it starts getting late. It's dark out. He says, Daddy, can I stay up late playing video games? Now, listen, now we're going to get into some bad parenting, okay? I'm not condoning this. I'm just telling you I did it, okay? So I guess I am technically condoning it. But I'm not saying, I'm not asking for you to judge me. I just desperately want to be loved by my child, okay? So then he says, can I stay up late? I say, Leo, there is no bedtime on old school video game night. Now, he can't even comprehend these words. He doesn't know what I'm talking about. I told him, Leo, I'm not going to make you go to bed at any point. He says, how will I know, though? Won't I get tired? I said, you'll get tired. He says, how will I know when it's bedtime? I said, Leo, you will just know. I told him, I go, this is how we do. We play video games until somebody eventually just says, I'm going to sit this one out. Next thing you know, they're asleep. That's how it works on old school video game night. He says, okay. By the way, skipping to the end of the story, our normal bedtime in our house is 8 p.m. He goes to bed at 8 o'clock. I go to bed about 8.01 p.m., okay? We made it to that little guy, Leo, that seven-year-old boy, told me that he was ready to fall asleep at 10:46 p.m. Now, between you and I, right around 10 o'clock, I started looking at my clock going, I don't know how long I can last. I mean, I never thought, with an 8 o'clock bedtime, I thought he'd make it till 9. I didn't see 10 o'clock coming. I was like, this ain't going to work. As soon as we got to 10 o'clock, I started putting a plan together. I'm like, if he goes till 11, I'm going to have to start to set up like, I'm going to have to start to backtrack here. But 10:46, he says he's ready for sleep. I go, okay, buddy, no problem. You want to go up to your bed? He says, yeah. I go, okay, great. Take him up to his bed. But there's two stories to tell before that. And again, terrible, terrible parenting. But I'm just, again, I wanted him to just have a blast. So the next thing that I did was, he was playing, we have Mario Kart World because that came with Nintendo Switch 2, but Nintendo Switch 1 has Mario Kart Deluxe. A lot of his friends have Nintendo Switch 1, so he really wanted Mario Kart Deluxe so that we can get online and play with his friends. So he's asked me basically every day, and every day we've said, dude, you just got the Switch for Christmas. He got Mario Kart, he got Dog Man, he got WWE, Mario Party. Like, he got a few different games with it. We're like, we don't need any new games for a long time, right? You just got the Switch. It's not already time to start buying new games. So he's all good. He's like, he gets it. But he kept asking over and over, like, but I really want Mario Kart Deluxe so I can play with my friends. All my friends talk about Mario Kart Deluxe. So what did I do? Oh, you already know it. Around 6 o'clock, I hopped on Target.com. Found out where they had a Mario Kart Deluxe in stock. Boom, we went and got it. Dad of the year. Either that or CPS. I'm not sure if this is which road this is going down. What's going through your head as you're hearing this? Dad of the year, or we should call CPS. I'm not sure which one. You know, I don't know. I'm going to tell you one more thing. And then after that, then you make your decision. Dad of the year or Child Protective Services, okay? I'm going to give you one more thing that happened. 9 o'clock, Leo looks at me, says, Daddy, I'm hungry. Can we warm up some of the pizza? I looked at him and I said, better. I have a better idea. I go, this wasn't even around when I was your age. You ever heard of DoorDash? He goes, no, Daddy, what's that? I go, McDonald's, Taco Bell, all of them, they deliver. He goes, they do? Now, at this point, I realized I've potentially stepped in shit, right? Because at this point, I'm like, he can't know that McDonald's delivers. This is not good. He's going to ask for it every day. So I make up something. And in this moment, I lie to my child. I tell him, look, I go, just for today. I go, it's, they decided just for special, just today, McDonald's and Taco Bell and all these restaurants, they've all decided to deliver just today. It's a special one day thing they got going on. He says, wow. I say, do you want to order food? He says, yes, daddy. And then he says the greatest thing I've ever heard, because originally it was going to be McDonald's. Then he goes, daddy, let's order Taco Bell. Now I'm in. Now I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So we do. About 9 o'clock p.m., we order Taco Bell, delivered right to the house. We eat our Taco Bell. We play till 10:46. Boom, we're out. Bedtime. I ask you, dad of the year? Or have you already begun looking up the number for Child Protective Services? I think they're both acceptable answers. And to be honest with you, if everybody listens to this podcast, I bet you there's some people on either side of the fence on that. Old school video game night. It was a blast. All right. Enough of my nonsense. Let's get to the interview. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome of the royal family of Webster, the Kittelbergers, the Kittelberger Empire. Please welcome Holly Rund. Okay, so I was on last week's episode speaking to your husband.
Yes.
And at the end, we were talking about Harrow East, and I was asking him about the bread and butter being weddings, and he kind of said it was proms or whatever, but I was thinking that, you know, weddings are still probably good business, and I was realizing he knows a great florist.
He does know a great florist.
Well, thank you for doing this, and I appreciate it. And also, it's so nice of you, too, because you were so complimentary before. You're like, I've listened to some of the episodes. That's so nice.
Yeah, well, I love all things, you know, business, small business, and everything, and that's really a lot of your focus. So
it is as the word I learned a couple years ago, ostensibly about entrepreneurship. Sometimes we go off on little tangents here and there, but Kittelberger is like this just really, you know, brand is such a big deal, and I want to talk brand to you so much because you guys have over the years built this brand. But I do want to talk about the family and like the founding of Kittelberger and all that, because the history I'm not too familiar with. Is your family the founders of Kittelberger, and how many generations back is it? Or
yep, so I'm fourth generation.
Awesome.
So actually, I did call my grandma last night just to kind of brush up on some dates.
And you have notes too, by the way.
I do have some notes. So 1928 is kind of our starting year that we use. So actually, in 2 years, will be our 100th anniversary.
Did you start talking about it yet?
Like, yeah, what you're gonna do? You know, we threw a big 90th, and it was awesome. And so I'm just excited to see what we can pull together for 100.
Yeah.
So to go back to the very beginning, my great grandfather Willie, he came over here from Germany, and he was sponsored by the Kittelberger family. So he came here to work for them. They had a farm stand, I believe, and garden, you know, type business.
What does that mean, sponsored? Like, they just kind of say, like, we vouch for this guy.
Yeah, like, I we're going to give him a job. He immigrated, yeah. So I think that they just kind of sponsored his immigration and you know, gave him a job and a place to live.
Yeah.
Kind of set his roots. So that's what he did.
We're going to make sure he has a way to,
yes.
He's not just going to come and sort of like suck off the government.
Correct.
He's going to work.
And Yeah. So he did that. And my great grandmother, Pauline, she came here, I believe, around the same time. They did not know each other.
Also Germany. Oh, wow.
And actually, so she came on a boat. She was going to come for a year. and, you know, just kind of visit and then make her way back to Germany. She got so seasick that she couldn't do it. Wow. She ended up staying. She didn't make it back home for 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow. She was going to, it was a long, not vacation, but it was a, like, well, it was going to be a year.
A year.
And she ended up here for 25 years.
Yeah. I mean, well, she ended up staying, though. But so she just didn't make her way back home for 25 years.
Well, she met Willie, though.
She met Willie. They met at night school, like an English, you know, class, so they could learn English. So she started working, you know, with him at the business. So to go back a little bit to Kittelburgers, the people who sponsored him, they didn't have like children or anything. And since my great grandfather was working there and really took to the business, when they passed away, he kind of took over the business and then established it more into a flower shop. And, you know,
what's the age discrepancy at that time? Are the Kittelburgers, cause I'm getting almost like a parents to child vibe here, although that's not necessarily true. Like, do you know the age discrepancy between the Kittelburgers and Willie?
That's a good question. I think there must have been a good amount of age difference because when they passed away, I think he was still young enough to, you know, establish it. That's a good question. I should have asked Grandma that last night.
It's interesting to me too because, like, how hip the Kittelburgers were, that they're a childless family, and they're kind of like, hey, get one of those immigrants over here, man. We'll make sure that they get on their 2 feet. You know, like, it's really, really cool.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know, but
because I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but we'll come back to this point. And if I can use my corporate speak, we'll put a pin in this for a second.
Perfect.
Come back. The Kittelburgers didn't have any kids. Are there any Kittelburger like relatives that are alive?
Yes, there are. There are still some in Webster as well. Actually, one, Donnie Kittelburger, I think he was a nephew of them. He still comes and pops in, and he's always kind of helped out. So it's nice to have that. He actually went to school with my grandmother. They're the same age.
Cool.
Yeah, so there is still Kittelburgers around for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So the Kittelburgers pass away, and Willie he's already been helping out, and now he's going to do, but you mentioned the family business. Is it flowers, or like, what is the family business?
So initially, it was like more plants and things of that nature. He did turn it into more of a flower shop, okay. I believe at that point.
Had he acquired the skill set of, I don't know too much about the flower business. Well, obviously we're going to talk about it, but did he like acquire the skill of how to grow flowers? Did he become a, is botanist the right word, or is that
maybe?
Like,
you know, I think just him coming here to be their gardener and help, he must have had like a knack for it or an interest in it.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how it turned more into a flower shop. I know they started selling carnations.
Yeah.
I think the oldest history that we could find were journal entries of purchases to a church in like 1915.
Okay.
So that, you know, before my great grandpa, but that was plants and such. So, flower shop, and then.
But how cool that he keeps it going and he keeps their name on it. Too.
Yeah, yeah. You know? So he did. Yeah. Yep, he kept their name on it. So I think we used 1928 just as the year for us, just because that's the year he came here and really started, establishing himself. And now we're into the fifth generation of this business.
Yeah.
So
you said you called your grandma last night. So is Willie, is her father?
Her father.
Aww.
Yeah. Yep. And, so she still lives next door to the shop. We call the shop.
did you would have never met Willie, I assume.
I did.
Oh.
He actually passed away on the first day of kindergarten for me.
Oh, really?
So I do have some of my earlier memories of him, and very specifically being in the greenhouse. And it's the same greenhouse that still stands today.
That is fantastic that you actually, there's like a direct link between you and Willie.
Yeah.
Holly, I love that. That's so good.
Yeah.
Okay, all
and
right.
And my great-grandma, Pauline, she passed away, I believe, when I was in 11th grade. So lots of memories of her. And
Yeah,
very lucky.
Good genes too, buddy. Yeah. Okay, so Willie starts doing this business, and you said he's the one who kind of morphs it a little bit closer to flowers, right? And he obviously is probably doing that because he's seeing that that's where the business is going. I mean, you know how it is. Business kind of leads you in a direction, and that's probably what's selling. And what do you know about the way he then grows the business? And at that point, to your knowledge, I know we're talking about way before our lifetimes, mm-hmm. but to your knowledge, what do you know about how popular it was? Was it as big of a deal as it is today already? Or is it just this little stand on a corner somewhere?
Yeah, I think it must have been, maybe it's all relative though. I mean, obviously Webster wasn't as, you know, populated as it is now. And mm-hmm. I think that it's always been pretty well known. And I still have people come talk to me, you know, or tell me stories today of like, they remember like my great grandpa.
Yeah.
I really should dive deeper into
not your fault. There's not enough there's not enough stuff written. I've actually thought this about my kids before, where when I get asked about my like great grandparents, I can't answer the question because there's no information. Mm-hmm. My great-grandchildren, if they're ever asked about me, they're going to be like, there's too much information. We literally can't go through it all. We're bored by this guy. There are hours of him talking shit on the internet.
Hey, I mean, that's how technology either is a good thing or bad.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So Willie is around for a long time, but he builds his business. So at what point... then does, I guess that would be then your parents, right? Your grandparents take over, right? Mm-hmm. Gotta get the family tree, right? Then your parents at some point take mm-hmm. over. There's these generational, mm-hmm. What are the big moments in Kittleberger's history, and sort of speed us up to almost how we get to today?
Okay. So my grandma didn't work there very much, but I believe, you know, she always had kind of been a part of the business. So, you know, growing up around it, just kind of gaining some knowledge about it. My grandfather, Martin, he came here from Romania in 1950. I believe he had some family here, so he was just kind of looking for something. He walked into the shop, I believe it was March 17th, either that day or the day before, but either way, he started working like on the spot. On St. Patrick's Day of 1950. They had work for him, so he started working, and then met my grandma, and then they had five kids, and then all five kids ended up in the business, you know, doing their thing.
Which one of those is your parent?
My mom is Jeanette, so she's number four in the lineup.
Number four, mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so you grow up around entrepreneurship.
We grow up around it.
You see it every day.
I mean, I would say probably one of my best memories as a kid is going to the shop, you know, especially like on the weekends. You don't know which one of my cousins was going to be there, but there's always going to be somebody to play with and get into trouble with. I said that's probably wasn't a great memory for the third generation because chaos.
Yeah.
But, you know, for us, you know, it's definitely just been something I've been around my entire life.
How did the five siblings, I mean, that's a lot of opinions to get into mm-hmm. one room, right? How did the five siblings like divvy up the responsibilities of owning this business?
I think everybody just kind of has naturally evolved into their roles. I mean, my generation, I guess, included, you know, as the years have progressed, the business has obviously grown. You know, and I think each generation has kind of, did their own thing to make it into, you know, what it is. You know, we keep evolving. For example, you know, the giftware has kind of definitely expanded over the past, I would say, 25 years. But even before that, we had, you know, some giftware. 2001, I believe, we knocked down a good portion of the building and built up to what the retail space is today. So, like, that's interesting. A lot of people are familiar of like Kittleberger's as a flower shop, mm-hmm. but a lot of times if they've never been there, they walk in and they're like, wait, I thought this was just a flower shop. And they're very surprised to see just kind of the inventory that we have gift wise.
I remember one time you guys ordered sauce from me and I was like, really? What? Cool. And that was the first time I had ever been in. And I was like, wow, this is like a real store. Yeah.
So before we did that renovation though, we did kind of have it's like almost like a little plaza, I would say. Like there were some little shops in within where we were.
Yeah.
So we had a little toy store, Kittle Kids.
Aw, that's great.
So when we were younger, we had Kittle Kids and that was just, you know, still kind of part of our business, but just where we were in that phase of, you know, our parents' lives. So it just kind of made sense.
Yeah.
And then when we did the renovation, you know, we kind of got rid of the toy, you know, part of it. We still carry kids' items, but not just, you know, a gift or toy shop specifically. We have a vast array of things to sell and for people to see.
Let's get into like you personally now, kind of caught up to current generation. Like, So let's go to your childhood. You grow up, mom is running Kettle Burger. She's an entrepreneur and you're seeing it every day. What does dad do, by the way?
He was a salesman.
Okay.
And ironically, he was a vendor for, flower shops.
Oh, he closed that deal pretty good, didn't he? Did pretty good.
But then he ended up working for another company that also dealt with flower shops and kind of their software and stuff. So okay. He also was kind of immersed in the floral business in some aspect.
Okay, got it. Okay, so you're seeing your mom every day, and as I talk about almost every week, entrepreneurship, it's a roller coaster, the highs, the lows. Does mom bring some of that stuff home? Do you see that at all throughout your life of like, we had a great month or a great year, we had a bad month or a bad year? Like, are you kind of privy to that, or is she kind of shielding you from that?
I don't remember ever like feeling like there was anything wrong or, you know, things were going awry. I would say just the biggest thing that was obvious was like during holiday times, the amount of hours that they put in, mm-hmm. you know, those Valentine's Day weeks, the Mother's Day weeks. You know, luckily, I would say today it's still a grind, but we have a lot of help and, you know, things are a little bit more efficient. Mm-hmm. So it is a little bit different. I mean, it's definitely a grind during the holiday times, but yeah. You know, we don't see those late night, early morning hours like they did during the holidays.
You remember that as a kid.
I remember her like coming home very late, or you know, us sleeping at our grandparents because our parents were going to be working late.
Yeah,
type thing. Yeah.
And what did you just think that was all very exciting, or were you like, I just wish mom and dad were here? Like, this sucks. Or like, do you remember?
I don't remember ever feeling like it was something that I didn't like.
Did you love it? Was it exciting? Was it like,
so.
I can't wait to be there with them?
I think so. Yeah, I feel like my heart's always been there. So I don't really remember like having it feel like a problem.
Was there ever a point as you then get older, you become a teenager or whatever, you're like way more aware of Kettle Burger and what it means to the community and everything, but you're still a teenager. You still got to go to school. Like, you're not quite there full time yet. Was there a time where you're considering maybe this is not what I'm going to do with my life, or?
So I would say when I went to college, I intended to be a health teacher. That was kind of what I went for, health science. I made it as far as SUNY Brockport, by the way. That's, you know, kind of where I've expanded furthest.
That's okay. Brockport's like its own little world.
Brockport was great.
Yeah.
So I, you know, during college, I still would come back during breaks and, you know, I would always help out at the shop. I did intentionally, you know, in high school work at Wegmans and, you know, I think during college a few different other jobs just because I really wanted to see what the real world, so to speak, was like. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to get some of that outside experience and just make sure that what I really felt like I wanted, which was to be at the shop, was accurate, not just because it's like all I knew.
So you kind of knew to ask yourself that question.
I feel like I did remember that.
And was mom all about you asking yourself that question too? Was she like, go figure it out, man?
Yeah, I never felt any pressure one way or the other as far as like working there or not working there. She definitely she always just wants her kids to be happy. That's what she always says. Yeah. So, you know, as long as we're happy, that's what is important to her.
How old were you when you started getting pulled in to do some work?
So, I mean, high school, I did kind of, I think I learned how to type like at Kittle Kids, as I was saying, when we were littler, on a keyboard, which, you know, that was before the actual, like we had to learn in school days.
What about grunt? Did she ever make you come in and just do grunt work, like to clean the bathrooms kind of stuff?
When we were kids, we would earn money. Hank's Ice Cream was right next door. And so we would earn our money, like our dollar, to go get our ice cream cone by folding boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like what we still have our kids do today, or fill water tubes that you would put like the single stem flowers in.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we would have those little jobs thrown at us and...
So push comes to shove. If I find you on graduation day, senior year, and I say, Holly, what are you going to be when you grow up? Do you say Kettle Burgers or not?
I think I was still probably deep down in my heart, yes, but wavering, went to college, you know, of course, like I said, going to be a health teacher. And I think it didn't take long, you know, being in college and just kind of coming back and working during the holidays, realizing
this is really what I want.
I was not ready to be done with college, though.
So you went through with college, but the whole time you're kind of like, you know what? I know what I'm going to do anyway. Let me just go through college because this is a hell of an experience.
Yeah,
Brockport,
I would say.
Baby. Jimmy Z's late night?
Oh, yeah.
Lots R.I.P., by the way.
I know.
Man.
And Canalside. Oh, yeah. Lots of fun times.
Yep. But you know when you get out of college, you're probably going to Kettleburger. And you're communicating with your mom the whole time about this. She knows you're coming on board. When you get out of college, is it like you start Monday or did you take a minute?
So my cousin was studying abroad. And so right after graduation, like I think the day after, I got an airplane and flew to England and did that. And France, and then we went to Germany also. So cool. About 2 weeks abroad.
Willie's hometown by any chance? Did you go look him up?
Was it his hometown? It was definitely family. Yeah,
you went and looked some people up?
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, my grandma's cousin was still living there at the time, so we stayed with her because we knew her pretty well. She would come visit pretty frequently.
Yeah.
So we did get to see some of those family roots and, you know, houses that had been there since, yeah, forever. When you go to Europe, it's interesting. Like, there is still so much old architecture that I feel like we don't really see much here.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's interesting because also 2026 is 250 years, I think, for the United States, mm-hmm. right? Sorry. And so it's just so funny after doing some traveling through Asia and Europe in my life and realizing just how young 250 years mm-hmm. is, like, United States, it really is like the child of the countries, mm-hmm. you know? It's mm-hmm. crazy. Sometimes we act like the child.
I know. We do.
Okay. All right. So you, after you have your European bash.
I cried all the way home.
Because you know you're going
to
work.
On the airplane. I loved college so much. And, you know, it's a weird transitional period for anybody. Like when you're getting out of college and it's like, okay, like even though you kind of maybe know what you're going to be doing, but you're still also trying to figure yourself out as a real adult. And just, you know, I just remember feeling like a little bit awkward in that phase, mm-hmm. as far as like, who am I or whatnot, even though, you know, I was definitely happy being at the shop.
What about just like, earning your chops as a florist? I mean, you got to have the skill set, right? You got to learn. Did that come naturally to you or did you kind of?
So I usually say if I had to do the designing, we wouldn't be in business. So I'm definitely like
not
I'm not, I don't feel like I have a creative bone in my body. So I'm not very much in the design room.
Okay. All right.
But you know, more of like the business side of things and retail and I would say like customer kind of relationships, yeah. things like that.
Well, so I'm not asking you to date yourself, but you go in right after college. So how many years have you been in the business at this point?
I graduated college in 06, so it'll be 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah.
Happy 20 years.
Thank
Congratulations.
You.
So 20 years in the business now. How has your role evolved from what you were doing when you were in your 20s, first day in, maybe some grunt work even at that point, and now, you know, I mean, is your mom still a day-to-day?
She is. Yeah. Yep, she is. So some of them have started to retire out, but are still a part of the business in some way, or are still part of the daily operations. You know, she does a lot. I feel like I must have taken over a lot of what she originally did, but everything just happens it evolves so like naturally that I can't, like, there's not like a definitive thing in my brain that I can identify as like, okay, this is now my responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like doing the schedule for the employees out front. Like, I remember my aunt being like, oh, you can do this now. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
You know? And,
yeah.
But just, yeah, it's just kind of evolved naturally, just kind of little by little taking over more and more responsibilities.
What about the brand of Kettleburger? Because in Rochester, you guys are, I think you're number one,
Thank
right?
You.
You guys are the number everybody thinks of it, they think Kettleburger
Thank
immediately.
You.
How do you think that came to be? And if I could just ask you, I know the answer is going to be high quality, high service. It's we're the best at everything we do. But like, what really, there's a grind behind that. There's hard work. Has that just been a long, slow build, do you think? Or were there moments where it took leaps?
I would say so. I mean, like I said, kind of with each generation, they've done something to kind of set us apart from maybe another flower shop or business. You know, so for the third generation, that was building it into this ginormous, you know, adding on the giftware part of the business, you know. So we essentially, I would say, now have two businesses, you know, that kind of are cohesive. But, you know, we have the retail side and then we have the flower side, and then they definitely like intermingle.
Yeah.
So
what is your calling card is it or going to be? What will your generation have done to take a leap?
You know, I would say that one of our biggest competitors is like online shopping or
never
getting people to come into the store. Never heard of it.
Never.
You've never done it. We're all guilty. I am too. But just kind of keeping that customer's experience alive.
Convincing them, yeah.
Yeah.
Just come like, local.
I know when I walk into a store and like I feel good or like uplifted. Like I want that experience for everybody who walks through our doors as well. Or if they can't come in, you know, if they're on our website or, you know, Instagram or social media or something, just finding something that makes them, you know, uplifted or feel good. Just, I think being a part of the community is a huge thing for us and kind of giving back and doing what we can because we've been supported by, you know, the community forever.
I just realized something. Hmm. You're going to be able to confirm or deny a rumor I've heard for a long time. I will change the name of the business just to protect them. Let's call them 1-700 Flowers.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I have heard, but not from any, I don't even know where I would have heard this. Maybe I made it up, to be honest with you. I've heard that actually when you order from them, that they just turn it to local shops anyway, right?
So I love that you're asking this question or telling me this rumor because this is definitely consumer awareness.
Yeah.
So it gives me an opportunity to kind of clear that up.
Yes, please.
So there are companies such as maybe the one you spoke of or others that we call order gatherers. So they, there's two ways we can look at this. They do put a lot of their funding into their marketing and they can be very deceptive. So if you go online and you search Flower Shop Webster, New York, you might see, you know, somebody, you know, or one or two people or, you know, shops pop up before us. That look like they're in Webster. I mean, they look like they're a local flower shop.
I have noticed this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people don't, and you know they're convinced that they're on our website because they said Webster, New York Flower Shop. So they end up on these websites that are not brick and mortars. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, pretty deceptive, and I feel like it's something that's never going to go away. Like this whole internet searching and marketing
away,
and
right.
everything. So it's just, again, bringing kind of consumer
worse
awareness.
Worse.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. So consumer awareness, just kind of knowing, like, are you on an actual, like, reputable website?
But so where's the flowers coming from?
Okay. So there are national companies such as Teleflora and FTD. We are part of the Teleflora network. So that allows us to send orders to, like, if you wanted to send somebody in Cleveland or whatever flowers, you can order through a local flower shop and we can wire it to another local flower shop.
Okay.
So Teleflora is kind of our network that allows us to do that. So while they are a national company and you may order from Teleflora's website, the main thing for us is it allows us to send wire orders on behalf of our clients who, you know, call us and, you know, are they going to be as good as you? And, you know, I always hope to say yes. You know, I feel like that's kind of a good problem we have. Like, we've set that standard pretty high.
And Teleflora is kind of vetting to make sure everyone is a good, reputable local.
Yeah.
There's been one or two speed bumps there, maybe.
You know, sometimes, you know, but also, like, there's areas that don't have, like, a lot or, you know, it's more rural or whatnot. So, you know, I do my best, especially now, if I am taking an out-of-town order, to find the shops that I can use within my network and then Google them and see what I can find out and just kind of make sure that I'm sending this to a shop that hopefully will do a great job for our customer that, you know, still trusted to call us, but it's still out of our hands as far as the finished product.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry because I'm stupid. I still don't understand. If I go to 1700flowers.com and
we
I order
don't accept
flowers.
We don't accept orders from them.
Okay.
So if you do place an order from these order gatherers.
But they do then go to some local florist.
Yes. And there are a lot of shops or like smaller, little businesses that do maybe arranging out of their home. They may fill these orders.
Got it. So I could become a florist. I could say I'm a florist now. I could kind of like sign up to be part of their network, and they might throw me orders from time to time. And they're probably taking a giant chunk of it, I would assume.
100%. We're always looking for a deal, and that's the other thing is they promote is like, you know, there's coupons or promotional codes and whatnot. But you're probably going to end up paying, you know, service fees and everything that you wouldn't normally pay if you're calling a shop directly.
Yeah.
And the other thing is the customer service. Like, you're not going to get that.
Yep.
So I would say.
So I'm glad you said that I can call you to order out of town flowers, because I do order flowers sometimes for vendors or clients who are out of town. Mm-hmm. And I would have never known I could call you for that.
Yeah.
To be honest.
And I mean, we're always happy to help. But if you decide not to call us, just make sure you're calling a local shop and you're not.
Yeah, don't go through them.
Yeah, or you're not even being like deceived by somebody who's acting like they're a local shop.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Because to me, that's just unethical. And it's really hard because we can't necessarily do much about it. You know, we just have to keep up with our marketing and everything. We did trademark our name this year just because, you know, again, this isn't going away. I don't know if it's going to help or not. But I mean, there was an ad last, I think it was Mother's Day, that literally had our name in their ad. So.
Yeah, no, I believe it. I believe it. Like, you know, or just they change one letter, you know, like that kind of shit. Like, oh God, that's how a lot of phishing scams work too, right?
Yeah.
It's like from Amazon, but there's two N's in Amazon, but you just look in quickly and you click on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, stupid.
So yeah, I mean, I'd say we're not the only industry that deals with that, but so just being aware of that as a consumer when you are online.
So something I was thinking about too, when I know I was going to talk to you, is about flowers and shelf life, which is something that, as much as our businesses don't have much in common, that would be maybe one thing that they do have in common. Although I have been lucky enough and blessed to have this super long shelf life in what I do, but I have many friends who do businesses, they're, you know, dairy or what.
Are you ready for a podcast that's real and empowering?
Getting Real with Bossy brings bold, honest conversations with business owners who are building big dreams and doing it their way.
No fluff, just truth, energy, and inspiration.
Hit play and get lifted.
Welcome to the world of Punches and Popcorn, where we dive into the bone-breaking and kung-fu-kicking world of martial arts cinema. Join us on The Path as we explore a new movie every episode, discussing the history, fighting styles, science, and more from a broad range of fight films. Everything from Bruce Lee to Jean-Claude Van Damme to John Wick. There's plenty of room in our temple of couch potato style. So listen in and subscribe to Punches and Popcorn on your favorite podcast app.
Whatever, where they have these super short shelf lives. How has inventory management been? What a battle that must be with the short shelf lives you're dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, so shout out to my cousins who really do a lot of managing of that part of the business. It's very interesting if you think about the life of a flower, you know, from seed to consumer. I mean, so you have the growers, and then you have the wholesalers, and then you have the retailers, and then you have the consumer. So the flower has to go through this whole supply chain until it even makes it to your sending your flower, or your wife flowers, you know, what that flower went through before it even got to your house. So there is like a whole supply chain, you know, shipping, cold shipping thing that, again, I'm not overly knowledgeable. I mean, I know, but I definitely, there's more experts.
It's a big deal though, because if you overorder something and you have too much inventory, and that's going to go bad on, I mean, that's
right
down the drain.
Yeah. So the whole inventory management. Yeah. We are lucky to have, really big coolers, so we can have a large inventory. However, the shelf life. So I would say, you know, if there's things that maybe we overordered, we can put together a special or put together an arrangement and take a picture of it and put it on the website and, you know, have it available.
You can move it.
But again, if something's not looking up to par or of our standard, unfortunately, you know, we'll just have to toss it. But
the holidays are bread and butter, I would assume, holidays, right? Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, you've already mentioned those. But also, of course, weddings.
Mm-hmm.
Weddings are just a giant deal. Are you guys so big and to the point where you can say yes to a basically infinite number of weddings? Or do you have to even limit how many you say yes to?
So we used to do a lot of weddings a weekend. And I will say that weddings are very stressful.
Yeah.
just in the fact that, you know, obviously it's a very monumental event, but there's a lot of planning and everything that goes into it prior to the actual wedding day
itself. A lot of particularity too, right?
Yeah.
It's got to look exactly this way.
And then, you know, the church service is this time, and then the reception is this time, and this has to be, you know, so logistics are, you know, can be a challenge. So when you're doing five or six weddings, it's just, you know, and we need X amount of vans, and it definitely it got a little challenging, and we were realizing that. And I would say probably around COVID time, you know, things started changing a little bit for that part of the business. We did start expanding our wholesale part of the business, and I would say there's been a lot of like wedding and event only flower shops that have popped up over the past several years. So that's like their passion. So there's all these flower shops that's all they do.
Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a good thing.
Okay, yeah.
It's a good thing because, you know, we're an everyday flower shop, so we will do weddings, you know, and everything in between. But I wouldn't say it's bread and butter.
Okay.
Just because we do such, you know, everyday things as well.
Has the bread and butter just become literally everyday business? Like you're the place people go to?
I would like to think so.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
There's occasions, you know, there's a lot of occasions that people will choose to send flowers for or come in and buy gifts for.
It's perfect for everything.
So
it's good for if I did something good, and it's good for if I did something bad.
Yes, but I will comment on that just because flowers are probably the best.
Yeah.
You know, like you're just thinking about somebody and I'm going to send you some flowers.
You're never wrong. By the way, you want to know something else you can do? Nobody knows this. You can send flowers to a man. You can do it.
All right.
I've done it a few times. It seems I've had people because I send flowers to out of town people a lot because in town I like sending people food.
I get it.
But out of town I send people flowers. You're going to find out soon because I never know I can order from you. But you'll find out in the near future that I do that. When I say a lot, not a lot, but you know, once or twice a month maybe. Anyway, where does I go? Oh. So my business partner, a couple of times where he'll see like a flower charge, he's like, who'd you send those to? And I'll be like, oh, John from, you know, from McCormick or something. He's like, you sent John flowers? I go, dude, freaking dudes love flowers too.
I mean, we have plants too. I mean, plants can be.
I know some dudes that really like plants.
For sure.
Yes. Here's one issue I do have with flowers.
Okay.
A general issue with flowers. Apparently the different flowers mean different things, and I don't always know that. And so there has been maybe what was it? Shit, I should have asked my wife because I talked to her on my way here. Carnation is a romantic thing, right? Or not necessarily.
I would say red rose would.
Red rose, I know that one. Yeah,
I don't.
Carnation's not necessarily romantic.
I wouldn't say.
Maybe
that
it
I've heard
wasn't that.
That
then. I know I wouldn't have sent a red rose to like a business person, but I sent something at some point. My wife was telling me that I sent a romantic thing to somebody in a.
Are
business.
You sure it wasn't a dozen red roses?
Is that the only one that's truly?
I would say roses in general.
Okay.
I mean, if they're mixed in an arrangement,
it might have been that I thought a different color rose was it because red rose is even a dummy like me knows red roses are romantic, but like I might have thought the other colors weren't, and so that might be what it was because this is years ago that I sent like white roses to somebody, and my wife's like, "What?
Yeah.
That's like a declaration of
like,
romance."
Yeah. Well, the roses themselves they do have like a certain meaning by color, but I feel like it's a little bit of a fading fad. But I mean, yeah.
Are there certain flowers if for funerals and certain flowers for I don't know, other things like that? That's what I'm also worried that sometimes I don't know that.
Well, that's why you call the local expert
because
they're going to help guide you.
Yes.
There's not one thing I would say for any occasion that is inappropriate or appropriate. You know, for sympathy, a lot of times people will do plants because, you know, they get like, this is only going to be out for a few hours. And then what are they going to do with the flowers? And they're, you know, concerned with that just kind of being a waste. So they might send a plant. A lot of times if people have that concern, I will suggest that maybe they send more of like a home style, like vase arrangement, even though if it's going to the funeral home, a family member can bring that home afterwards as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you call the place in order, we do kind of listen to what the occasion is. Why are you calling, you know, and then we'll get kind of like a little bit more information, like what would you like to say on the card, or just kind of understand the dynamic of the order, and then that makes it a little bit easier for us to give a suggestion if you didn't already have something in mind.
Yeah. What do you think for the future? I know you got 100 years coming up. What do you see now as over, you know, you said some of your aunts and uncles have already started retiring. Your mom's still around, but one day she'll retire. At some point, you and are your cousins all in too?
Yeah, so there's, I think there's five of us now, and then there's some in the fifth generation that are
already
helping
popping
out
up.
Too.
Some of the Gen Zers are in?
So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely still family, you know, run as well as, you know, our amazing staff. You know, I probably don't do a good enough job of thinking about that, just because I always feel like everything will work out. But there are things that definitely could keep me up at night as far as who's going to fill this role, or fulfill this role, you know, when this person is no longer working or, you know, so those are some challenges that are going to come up probably in the probably more near future than not.
Who's the president of the company? Like, who's the person who's just every penny in, every penny out, every day watching that?
So my brother really kind of manages the finances. Mm-hmm. We all really have our roles, but, you know, we try to get together and just communicate. That's another thing that, you know, as G4 we're working on, and just getting G4. That, keeping that communication open, because, you know, if we're not strong at our core, then, you know, we're gonna, you know, face challenges, and we need to be able to do that together. One thing that my grandma and grandpa had always said was, if the horses aren't pulling the cart in the same direction, then the cart will fall apart. So just kind of making sure that we're all following the same values and want the same thing, you know, obviously the business to succeed, then hopefully all will be good.
Was there ever anything you saw from Willie to the next generation to your parents to you? Was there ever anything you saw that, like, those first couple generations, like, didn't like, they didn't agree with?
No, that's a good question, though. I was thinking my grandma has obviously seen this from since she was a child to now where it is today. And like I said, she lives right next door, 91. She's awesome. You know, I would love to get her perspective of, like, what she's seen and, like, what's changed so much for her, because I'm sure it'd probably be different than my perspective. But yeah, we just keep evolving and hopefully just keep that customer experience.
There's only thing you've said so far that makes me mad, mm-hmm. not actually mad, oh, but you know, me. Where I go, like, God, I'm so jealous, mm-hmm. as G4, generation four, mm-hmm. versus what I'm doing, which is sort of a startup, mm-hmm. still, right? Is like every day. And this is, I honestly, a lot of people tell me I shouldn't talk about this, but I talk about it because it's just real. It's how I feel. Every day I'm scared we're going to go out of business. Every day. And there's not a lot of evidence that that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's not to say it can't happen. Mm-hmm. Shit could happen. Like, it's not impossible. But I don't think it's possible that I ever get to a situation where I feel safe, where I feel like, you know what? This place is going to be fine. Doesn't matter what we did last year, the year before. I mean, on paper, you zoom out on the last 11 years, and it's like, why would you think that, Pauly? Like, everything looks great. Mm-hmm. Everything's in line here. No. Every day I'm like, what if they all stop buying sauce tomorrow?
You got to stop thinking negative.
Yeah, there's that. That's true. That is true. You're right. And it is. Thank you for the therapy. Mm-hmm. I appreciate mm-hmm. that. So that is something I can't get rid of, that I'm wondering if that doesn't exist for you because you're fourth generation.
I guess now that you're pointing that out. I mean, of course, there are, you know, things to worry about, and you got to make sure that you're staying on top of. And I just feel like they set such a strong foundation. We're so lucky.
Yeah.
We're so lucky. And, you know, like you said, that brand, you know, it's been around since before I was even born. So to be able to continue that brand, and, you know, that is a little scary, but I also, I'm confident that, you know, they instilled so much in us, you know, as far as knowledge on how to run the business, and, you know, hopefully we will be successful. But like I said, there are things that I probably should worry about a little bit more that I don't.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to, like, no, I don't. My shit's neurotic. Like, you don't.
Don't worry. I have enough anxiety.
You are a normal, well-adjusted human being. I'm the problem here. Trust me. My mentality is, it's crazy. But sometimes I think it's good because it keeps me hungry. I'm always, like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I'm always moving. Like, it's fast. Yeah. I'm going to go fast. I'm going to try and make things happen. So in that way, it is kind of good. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, like, it's not healthy.
Well, you can't get too comfortable, I guess, is what you
know. Should never get too. That's yeah. true, too. You
don't
shouldn't
get too comfortable. But I think that you can enjoy what you're doing and not have to worry every day that you're not doing a good job.
Yeah,
because you are doing a good job.
Have you over the years, I imagine this is bound to happen because I think you guys are sort of a, really it's about the brand, not even just the size. Like, I have no idea what your top line, bottom line is, but you're just, your brand is so massive. That have you had people approach you to acquire you over the years?
Never.
Really?
No.
Wow. No. See, I kind of thought that would be the type of thing where you'd be like, oh yeah, there's been a few, but no, that not to your knowledge, huh?
No.
Wow.
That would be an interesting conversation.
Well, I mean, there's a price for everything. I don't want to stop doing what I'm doing, but if somebody came in and said there's a number somewhere that I would probably take the key off my keychain and just be like, tell them I'll pick my stuff up tomorrow. You know?
Yeah. No, we haven't had that happen. So,
have you ever been walking around in a local grocery store?
Got it.
And come across a friend and they have like a bouquet of flowers in their cart and you're like, no, it doesn't need to be awkward. It's okay. This happens to me all the time.
I know. You know, like, yes, it maybe has happened a couple of times, but yes, I don't want it to be awkward because I would say if people have an appreciation for flowers and they're in Wegmans or, a local grocer, wherever, honestly, if Trader Joe's, I mean, anywhere, if they want to pick up some flowers because it's going to make them happy or they feel like they're going to give them to somebody and it'll make them happy, that makes me happy.
Yeah, yeah.
The appreciation for flowers in general, I'm happy that.
Doesn't Trader Joe's have like really cheap, right at the front, they have like the cheap little bouquets or something, like $8 or something?
Yeah,
like that or
I mean, like that. That is another one of our competitors would be like mass market.
But that, to me, that is kind of a brilliant thing that they're doing these little cheap bouquets because it is true that I might. On my
way. Grab and go.
It's a grab and go. And like, that's because I don't, you probably don't have an $8 bouquet, right? Like, that's almost impossible, I would assume.
Not really. We can do it. I mean, we try to do what we can for anybody.
Yeah. But it's the type of thing where I'm not necessarily stopping by Kettleburg on my way
home.
Right,
you're not going to go out of your way. And but honestly, we are, I would say, a shopping destination.
Yeah.
I mean, that is another challenge to face. But I would say if somebody has a bouquet of flowers in their hand and they're not from us, it's okay.
Yeah,
well, I'll forgive you.
You were talking about doing wholesale and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. Are Kettleburger flowers available in other stores out there?
So we just for local, like I was mentioning the event and wedding flower shops and the littler like DIY kind of shops.
Okay, you're doing flowers for them.
We provide a lot of their flowers for them. Yeah.
But you wouldn't go to like a place like Redbird Market in Fairport and like do a flower. Could you sell them flowers that they would then sell to their?
Sure. So, if they wanted.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know.
We would love wholesale.
They do like seasonally. That's my wife's joint, by the way. They seasonally have carried bouquets at times from the farmer's market. That's like right in their parking lot. And for just those like few weeks or whatever, they go really well. Mm-hmm. And my wife just as recently as a couple weeks ago was talking about how well flowers sell.
Oh.
And, you know, knowing you guys do wholesale, I'm like, I think you could probably have flowers year round if
she wanted. Yeah. And that's the other thing. I'm sure she probably likes to buy like from local growers more so in the summer or when our weather's conducive, if she's able.
It's just such a short season.
It is such a short season. And, you know, we source a lot of our flowers from like South America and Ecuador and you know places like that because that's where they are able to grow. Mm-hmm. But we do try to buy local when we can because I know people you know love to support local and you know we like to support local too.
This is such a weird question and this we can edit this out if you want
okay.
to. Do you ever have you guys ever had flowers come in and there's some weird insect in it and you're like, what the hell is that?
I think they just unpacked a box of plants or something the other day and there was a frog.
Oh.
So.
Because in food, there's like a lot of regulation regarding cleaning before you get, but I would imagine in flat, there's probably less regulation in regards to like the cleaning.
Yeah. But they still, I mean, like depending on where things are coming from, have to go through customs.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was trying to get these amaryllis bulbs from Canada and they said, sure, we can sell them to you, but we can't get them to you. Because of some sort of regulation, they over the border, they weren't going to allow.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I don't know if people are trying to smuggle things through amaryllis bulbs, but
I guess so. I don't know. I'm always waiting. We have glass. Some of our glass has come from overseas over the years, and I'm just waiting for one of those glass jars to have like a little message in it and be like, save me.
Oh, geez.
Like I'm always one of these days. I'm like, hey, we're going to come across a message. It's going to be in some other language. We'll do Google Translate and it'll just be like, help me, please. And I'm going to go, no, I have to find Felipe.
You're going to have to track it down.
Okay. What did I miss? Did I miss anything? How long
are we going? I don't think so. I think we really kind of covered a lot.
What do you got in your notes that I didn't talk about?
Well, it was more so like my dates. I just want to make sure I had dates and such in the flower.
You like studied. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Is the whole thing notes for today or just that one page?
No, it's just history stuff that I've written over the years. I don't know. I think in my brain I won't know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about it, but.
Oh, you got it. You're good. What's your favorite piece of Kittleberger history that we didn't talk about already?
Just being immersed in it. I don't know. That's a really hard question.
What flowers smell the best? I know that's a new question.
So like people tell me they don't like lilies because they're so fragrant, and I agree.
Mm.
Lily's probably like one of my least favorite flowers. It depends. There's not one that really smells the best. I have a few favorites that, you know, aesthetically, like I love.
Yeah, what is your favorite?
Like dahlias are so pretty. I mean, they come in such vibrant colors. But there's so many. I mean, I am not a carnation lover, but in the right arrangement, they add texture. And so, I mean, it just depends.
Are you willing to share any? Have you had any good disaster stories? Like we did a wedding and like we had the wrong thing or something. You don't have to share if you don't want to.
I think there's a story that somebody went to the wrong church and, you know, we showed up late with the flowers. I mean, you can't really, the thing, like that's, you know, again, weddings, like they make me so nervous because things can go awry and that keeps me up at night.
Oh God, I feel you. So my wife loves flowers, just loves flowers.
Love
and of course, right. And I, you know, I think flowers are great. You know, I don't know that I love flowers, but I think flowers are great. Nothing against flowers. I will say this, after we got married, all those flowers got to come home with us. Mm-hmm. And I still remember for that like week after our wedding, flowers all over our house. Mm-hmm. And it really made the house pop.
See?
Dude, like, yeah. I mean, I would have never just known that. But when you have a beautiful bouquet mm-hmm. of flowers like mm-hmm. everywhere in your house, it's like, it does something to your house. It does.
They're uplifting.
It's expensive to keep up with like that many bouquets all the time. But it was noticeable even to me. What else, Holly? We got it?
This is good.
Now, what are you doing? So we're still sitting at Thirsty Turtle. Like, what do you do now? You got to go do mom stuff.
Mom
like,
duties.
What do you eat here when you eat?
What do I eat? They do a good burger, but, you know, I got to try to be good. They do good salads as well.
What's wrong with a burger?
I know.
Come on,
I know, but
bro.
I don't come here that much, so... You know, now that we have kids and stuff, it's not as easy to get up here. Although they make their way up here a decent amount because if Teddy has them during the day or, you know, on Saturdays and I'm working, they're here. And so when we do come here, they kind of run around like they own the joint. That might not be.
They do.
And so then when we go to, you know, other restaurants, it's like, okay, we actually got to sit still and be polite.
How old are your kids?
7 and 9 boys.
Seven and
yep.
nine. Any opinions yet on how they're going to run Kittleberger?
Well, Theo, our older one, we call him the leader, and it'll serve him well, hopefully later in life. But right now, he's the oldest. You know, the oldest cousin. He said some comment to my nephew, like when I own the turtle one day and I manage you, or you know, something along those lines. It's like, wait a second.
So I love that.
We'll see.
I got to hear my child. I went to have lunch with him at his school, and it was I get like ushered to his classroom, and I'm standing outside the classroom for about a minute, but they can see me, so mm-hmm. they're all like, Leo's daddy's here. And I hear him, and I loved this so much. I heard him explaining to another kid what I do for a living, and it was so cute. He's 7, and he started explaining. He's like, do you know how like when you have spaghetti, sometimes it'll be like maybe just cheese, but then other times it'll be like red sauce? And the kid's like, yeah. And he goes, that's what my dad does.
So cute.
It was so freaking cute. Aww. I loved it. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I should say, you've been the booking agent on the last two episodes. Very nice.
Happy to help.
I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Go to Kittleberger.
Thanks.
That's the joint. Thanks, Holly.
Bye.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.